Father, we thank you for who you are and how you've revealed yourself and how you're willing to have a personal relationship with each of us. Lord, I would pray that as we go through the semester, that this class would be more than children's ministry, but it would be used to touch hearts and to draw us closer to you. And we ask that you would make yourself known each week that we meet, and that your purposes would be accomplished. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I've got something in my throat that's not supposed to be there, so we'll work through that. But what I want to start with is your syllabus. Go ahead, and if you don't have that in front of you, pull that out. I'm the instructor of the children's ministry class. I'm Larry Enterline. I am a pastor on staff at Calvary Chapel Bible Fellowship, and that's in Temecula, not too far from here where we're meeting. And I and my family grew up at Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa. We actually, my wife and I, attended Calvary Chapel when it was a small little chapel and saw it grow. And I was on staff there for about 10 years in the children's ministry, and I find myself still doing the children's ministry. I love being around kids. I love being around those that love being around kids. They stay young. They stay connected. They typically live in reality. You can grow in age and start kind of getting weird ideas as you get older and older, and the little kids keep you from those weird ideas. We'll be talking about different involvement maybe in your life with children, and we may see that a little bit more and share a little bit more about that. But I have four children, two adult children. I have a 16 going on 17-year-old daughter. I have a 17 going on 18-year-old daughter. And, you know, I have to reverse that. We're right in the midst of a bunch of birthday changes right now. So I have a 15-year-old going to 16, a 17 going to 18, and two older sons, 26, he just changed, and a 28-year-old about ready to turn 29. It's kind of this first part of the year. We've got all our birthdays and kind of do all those changes. My youngest son is involved with a worship team called The House, and he's the lead guitar in that. And I guess it's out of Costa Mesa, but they also are over at Rawls Church in Golden Springs. My oldest son is a children's ministry pastor in my office. And you'll have a couple occasions to meet him. He will be doing a couple classes that the Lord has gifted him in, and so that will be good. My daughters are involved in children's ministry. We are a homeschooling family. All the kids have been homeschooled all the way through until they got to college. And both my boys are graduates from here. And I think that's enough, but it's not the kind of thing I like talking too much about. My wife and I do parenting classes and parenting seminars and things like that, and we really love that because it our heart for the children comes by way of the parent, because so often that affects, there's many things that affect children, but that's one thing that does definitely affect the children. And so when you're able to minister to parents, then you're ministering to the kids. We did a seminar, a 4.5-hour seminar, a couple Saturdays ago, and people kind of chuckled. I said, you know, I don't really care about you guys. You know, they're all, what? You know, we paid to come here. You know, what is this? And I said, I care about your kids. And so indirectly, I do care about you. But my heart and burden is for kids, because the world basically rips kids off. And oftentimes when they're supposed to be being protected, they aren't. And so I just love building up a ministry, a group of people around children that want to protect those kids. My own experience when I was 9, my dad left, and it devastates you for the rest of your life. You know, it's not just a small thing. Sometimes it's the way it is. Sometimes it doesn't need to be that way. God hates that. But nonetheless, you still have to deal with life. And I wish I would have known Christ earlier in life. It would have saved a lot of people headaches that I created for them. But I did have the privilege of coming to know the Lord when I was 17 years old, and it was a very radical changing in my life from what I was used to living and being. From 9 years of age to that point, I was, you know, who cared? Let's go and do what we want, and nothing was going to bother me. So, and there's a lot of kids that are dealing with that. Today they tell us that 50% of the body of Christ families end up in divorce. So anytime we come into a classroom, there's going to be maybe 1 out of 2 kids that have experienced that, but it actually filters out even more than that. And so you have a lot of children that are hurting. They're wondering, can they trust anybody? They're wondering if life is even worth it. And so we have a great opportunity to tell them that, oh, it is worth it, and there's someone that will make it worth it. And he's very relevant to children today. And when I speak of children and children's ministry, anyone that's been involved with a child that's, you know, I would prefer to call them youngsters that are 10, 11, 12 years old, you aren't thinking kitty-kitty stuff. There's some really deep stuff going on. There's things that are happening in the world today. The recent thing, the young 11-year-old girl that gave birth to a child. Heavy stuff's going on right now. Things are happening, and it's not getting any better. And God's called an army of people to protect and minister to those little ones that he cares so deeply for. So hopefully in this semester you'll hear and see some things that maybe you have not considered pertaining to children, and we'll grow and expand in some of that understanding. You can read the course description if you haven't before this, and the objective of what we're going to do, but let's go ahead and turn to, I guess it's page 2, and your text is Spiritual Parenting, this book here. There is an older version that's a smaller red cover. That's not acceptable. It won't work. Same stuff, but different pages, and that throws off the midterm and the final and things like that. So this is your book. This book is not about parenting per se. It says spiritual parenting. It's talking about overseeing a child and seeing a child from God's viewpoint, from a spiritual standpoint, how he sees children. So this isn't the kind of thing where somebody will, you know, because it has parenting in there, oh, well, you know, I'm not a parent, or I don't really care about parenting, or whatever it may be. That's not this book. This book is God's perspective, in my opinion, on how to minister to a child, to a youngster, and the importance of that. So that's your text. You have summaries that you're going to have to turn in every week, starting next week. That is found on the third page there. You'll see the summary outline. It's all broken down for you with Easter break in there. And you get to the last one on May 5th. It's chapters 21 through 23. It's the only time where you will have 3 summaries that you need to turn in. The rest of the time, it's 2 summaries. Gives you the date that they need to be turned in on and which chapters they are. So next week, you've got chapter 1 and 2 that needs to be turned in. Back to the second page there. Those summary points are worth, it's worth 92 points for your grade, 4 points per summary. You will have a 4, or if it's kind of weak and you just kind of didn't read it and you just thought, well, I'll just write something down, that might go to a 2 or less. But a typical good summary, which is a half a page in notes, can be handwritten, not size 32 font though, but it can be reasonable handwritten, or you can type it. But you need to have at least a half a page, but not more than a full page. So that's something to keep in mind. Please put your name on top of them. Your TA and I would appreciate that. And your TA is Brandy, by the way, back here. And she's got her hours, that if you have any questions, that you can get a hold of her. Do you have anything you would like to share at all at this point? Or so what she said was, if you're going to handwrite it, make it legible. Make sure it can be read. If you kind of come up short with that, then I advise you to do some typing, and that should work. Okay. Number 2 is the completion of a children's ministry notebook. You've got a notebook. Each week I'll be handing out different sections, because one of the things you're going to find is it's not going to necessarily stay in order of what we've got written down here, which we'll talk about in a minute. I'll get guest speakers coming in, and I never know. Sometimes the Lord leads a whole lot. Sometimes He leads a few, and sometimes none. Other than what I've scheduled already. So when I see something that's really valuable, I like to bring them in if at all possible. The notebook is worth 100 points. When you're done with the class, it's going to look something like this in size. And you're going to have your notes in here, and you're going to have it in order. If by chance you want to do this by computer as far as taking your notes, that's fine. Prefer that you take it in the notes that you've been given. But if you choose to do it by way of, you know, your computer, just put your notes right in that section where they should go, so we can easily know that those are pertaining to, and title them so we know. Otherwise, the grade does get challenged. So that will be important for you to know. The dates of them being due are highlighted in red here. And I put a lot of points for the notebook, quite simply, because there's never been a class, or I should back up with that, there's been few classes that someone hasn't ended up overseeing a children's ministry, and they call me. I just talked to somebody yesterday that has been involved in a church now for 3 years, and they were a student back 3 years ago. And so I encourage you to take good notes. You may be thinking right now that that is never going to happen. That's the last thing that will ever happen. Still take notes, because you don't know. You don't understand what can happen down the road in 5 years, 6 years. And all of a sudden it's like, wow, they asked me to oversee this. What am I, wow. And what do I do? And there are very few places that you're going to have this kind of information. It's not a typical class that's offered. We're doing this focus class so that it can be recorded, so whether campuses can participate and watch it by DVD. And if you are, we welcome you. It's really important, and you'll be surprised down the road how it can help. But you'll probably put it in a box somewhere for a season. But the fact that you have it and you took notes is really going to be important. But it also is a good portion of your grade. That is going to be coupled on the same due date with number 4, which is your final exam. Those two are going to be turned in on the 5th. And going back to number 3, the midterm exam, you have that. It's been handed out in this first class. And I'm highly recommending, sometimes people challenge this, but by the end of the class, their challenge is a very low grade. It's designed to be relatively simple, and that is if you do your summaries at the same time as you do the section of the midterm questions, because you're reading the material for both of them, it becomes relatively easy. If you don't do it that way, then you're going to double up and your work is going to be twice as much. So what I'm saying is with your, you know, number one, the three questions you may have in your midterm will relate somewhere in the summary. So read the book, do the midterm. It will take you 20 minutes. Write yourself a summary because your mindset is there right after you do everything and you're in there. You do it any other way and it will be a challenge for you. You get behind, it will be a challenge for you. So it's just a word to the wise, and hopefully we've got wisdom galore in here. Okay, let's look at the course schedule. Today we're dealing with the syllabus and a few other things, and then we're going to look at leading a child to Christ. Next week, discipline in the classroom. Very important information. One of the challenges that many people have when they find themselves in a class is, how do I discipline? What do I discipline? These aren't my children. These are somebody else's children. We have some, I believe, some very helpful information for you in that. If we do face painting that week, like I said, there's all kinds of changes that can happen. We don't necessarily paint the face. We paint the hands or the arms, kind of a thing. But what a lot of students don't realize is that God has put on their hearts, and He may have put on your hearts, short-term mission work. And this class is so important if anybody's feeling like God's calling them to do short-term mission. Because what most people don't realize is when you go out to the mission field and you have your contacts of adults, and there may be 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 adults, maybe not that many where you're headed, you'll have 10, 15, 20 times that of children. And somebody's got to care for them. And oftentimes we don't know how. And there are so many simple things that can be done if you're aware of that. And there's nothing better. It turns out oftentimes to be the most blessed part of the mission trip versus dealing with the adults. And we'll talk more about that. And there's good reason for that. So face painting may be something that you'll find, you know, very helpful in regards to that. The class today you'll find very helpful in regards to going out on the mission field. Because this is typically how it plays out. Go to the mission field. We're thinking about going out and doing drama and doing all kinds of stuff, whatever it is, with adults, for adults, or even older age youth. And then all of a sudden, the reality hits because the kids are everywhere. I mean, hundreds. And you're going, somebody's got to take care of them. And so they'll go, you. What? I don't know what to do. Well, there are many simple things that can be done that will really minister to the kids, and you'll find them in this class. The next week, games and activities, proven games that work in the class to reiterate the Bible study, to reinforce the Bible study, but the kids absolutely love them, and Matt will be in to do that class. Worship with children, we'll be covering that, reaching out to the community, children in the community in many different ways, which is a great class as far as informing and explaining some of the things that are going on. It's legal to go into the public school education system once a week for an hour and teach about Jesus Christ. The Supreme Court in 1964 upheld that decision, and a lot of people aren't even aware of that. And when you go into a place where the kids oftentimes haven't gone to church, and you ask them, after you've given a complete message of salvation, do they want to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior? They've got these big eyes. And they're like, are you kidding? Why not? And it's just, you never get tired of it. It's just the most awesome thing when a child for the first time has heard the gospel. So, be some good things. Preschool, you don't want to be sick on that day, if that's the day it turns out, teaching preschool age children. You want to be there. The guest speaker will, it'll be good. Enough said. And classroom structure, knowing children. What I want to point to your attention is Easter break. We've got right after that, the 14th, the 21st, and the 28th. We've got three classes lined up. And these classes are pivotal to this class. They're very, very important classes. We will be dealing with how to teach the children verse by verse. And even if it's not verse by verse, how to teach the children how to meet with God through the Word. And it is just a great thing. Oftentimes people go, how do you have fellowship with God? You know, and the question can vary, the answer can vary to that question. But it's such a simple answer. And we'll cover that in those classes. And we'll show you not only if it applies to us as adults, but how it applies to a child, to an 8-year-old, to a 10-year-old, to a 12-year-old, and how they can learn how to have fellowship with God. And it's a great combination of classes that I believe is the key pretty much to this semester class. Puppets, we'll be looking at puppets, and we may be doing a class dealing with disease and stuff inside the classroom, dealing with that. There's different things that a lot of times we don't consider when we're playing and ministering to that runny-nosed little cute child, you know, and what do you have to do with that? Hey, I'll give a head start on this. You know where one of the greatest forms of transferring of bugs that you don't want to transfer is? Typically, it's the doorknobs. All right, the doorknobs transfer so many diseases, but there's another one that oftentimes is not even considered. You want to take a guess? Crayons? Oh, that would, but no, that's not what I'm looking for. This is like major stuff. It's like doorknob stuff. No. You all own them. No. No. I mean, that definitely all you're saying you're going to have some. It's your shoes. Your shoes. And you walk in somewhere. I mean, there's bugs all over the carpet here. There's bugs right down there. No, you don't know where you've been or where you've gone. And so you walk into, I'm going to get you paranoid in your dorm now. Walk into your dorm and there's bugs everywhere on the floor and you're down there just studying, you know, laying on the bug, you know. But we don't realize that the shoe carries a lot of issues for us. So now you're going to say, okay, we got a new rule in our dorm. Shoes outdoors. Take them off before you come in. But don't get too freaked out. It's for all, you know, statistics have proven 100% die. So, I mean, it's not any big deal. And then you're with the Lord. I mean, you just can't beat that. Okay, talked about the summaries, we talked about this and that. Any questions on the homework, any questions on anything that we've covered at this point? You can still ask questions throughout the time. I would highly encourage, if not ask you please, before this class is over with, look at this notebook. This will tell you what we're expecting. How do you know what we're looking at and asking for notes? And so you can look at that and see. Yeah. You don't have all the papers. What are you missing? So you just took the top one. You want to get a set? That's easy to do. Yeah. Okay, real quick. We're going to find out a little bit about each of us in class. You already know a little bit about me. You don't have to spend a lot of time, but I'm personally interested in any kind of involvement you've ever had in children's ministry. So what we're going to do is we're just going to, you don't have to, you know, we'll be here forever and won't get anything done if you talk about everything that's on your list there. But I do want you to turn those in, and it would be nice to have your name on top of it so I can get a better idea of what you have to say. But if, you know, anything you see pertinent that would be relatively quick to share with the class, that would be great. And I'll start off with volunteers, and then from there I'll start picking and choosing. So anybody that wants to step out and share a little bit about themselves, start with your name and where you're from and what semester you're currently in. Go ahead. That away.
Second semester, so work with kids once in summer camp. Little 8-year-old, 12-year-old, and I have all the children with the really young kids, so all the girls always, little kids.
Yeah. So you're Tim from San Diego, worked at a summer camp. Anything else you want to share? Okay, next. All right.
I'm Nikki Newman. I'm from Cleveland, Arizona, which is like 8 hours away. Second semester, I've done VBS like 3 years. And I've done registries and 3 times. And I've also helped with
Right. I just realized, too, that you probably won't be coming through on this recording right now. So those that are watching this, you can be finding out a little bit about each other, yourself, in the class that you're at right now. Okay, who's next? Yes. Okay.
And I don't work in the children's ministry, I do work with the youth, but my family is a faith, and most of the ministry that we do is to our little cousins, so we're the only ones that listen.
Yeah.
So I figure this is the best place to work, so we have a ministry to them.
Great. I've talked with so many people that get to minister to their, you know, the little ones in the family that they have no other way of hearing about the name of the Lord. And so many neat things happen from that. I mean, so many neat things. So that's neat that the Lord's giving you that opportunity to do that. All right. Thank you. Next. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I think as they grew up, I progressed with them.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
So, and we don't have a big church, so they were small, I was with them, now they're middle school, now I'm with them in middle school.
Cool. Yeah. Great. Thank you. Anybody else? Great. Thanks. family thing here. Okay, cool. Great, thanks. Who's left? Okay.
And I did take her, when I did go to service, I take her to,
That's great. Thank you. We've got two left, because I'm going to ask you, Brandy, too. Oh, you haven't?
Yeah.
Okay, who's got? Very cool. So you family, you're both from San Diego?
No.
Okay. All right, who's next? Great. All right. Thanks. Oh, what? Okay, yeah. You're way up there. Yeah, for sure. Thank you. Well, that's good. It's always nice to know a little bit about you guys and what's going on in your life. We're going to, I think at this point, dive into leading a child to Christ, so you can get your notes out, get them ready. We will take a break in here somewhere, but for now, we'll start off in the introduction, number one. And the question is that's posed is, can a child, are we all there? I better wait before we get to our notes, know where we're at. Can a child have enough faith to come to know the Lord? On our children's ministry application, one of the questions we ask, is, can a five-year-old understand what it takes to give their life to the Lord? And you will hear all kinds of answers with that. And it's pretty interesting when it comes to that. But Jesus welcomed the children. And if you've been in children's ministry at all, you've heard the verses out of Mark chapter 10, verses 13 through 16, where the kids were being brought to the Lord. And oftentimes we get this picture that it was the moms bringing the kids to the Lord. That's a false concept. It most likely was the dad bringing the kids with the mom as a family. In that culture, in that day and age, it was the father's responsibility to care for the kids spiritually. That's kind of gone by the wayside in our culture and in many cultures. But the whole family was coming. And here's the disciples. Now, mind you, this is the top of the line for leadership. These were Jesus' guys. They were the ones he was going to leave it all with when he left. They were the leaders. And they realized that Jesus was a very important man. And so as they were bringing them, they said, you know, no way. Jesus doesn't have the time, basically. Whatever they were thinking, it had something to do in that realm, because why would they stop him? And so they did. And Jesus saw it. And it's one of the few times in the Word of God where we see Jesus extremely underlined, bolded, extremely upset. He was ticked at his disciples. He went on to say, because such is the kingdom of God. And he went on to try to explain to his leaders that this is where it's at. You have to become like a child to enter into the kingdom of God. And you'll find adults all the time taking that verse and saying, well, it means the characteristic of a child. And they explain it away. They explain the words of our Lord away. He says you have to become like a child to enter into the kingdom of God. There's different scriptures in parts of, that indicate that that's the focus. That a child is more prepared to receive Jesus Christ than an adult. And you're going to be reading a lot about that in the book, the text for the class. But I think it's very important for us to start realizing that that's what's going on. And when he talked about the young child, the original language meant very young. It wasn't, you know, into the youth, or it was a very young child is what was being said, that you have to be like to receive the Lord as their Savior. It was talking about the earliest beginning of a child. So it kind of throws people off. One of the things that throws them off is this thing called the age of accountability. And what is the age of accountability? I mean, it's kind of a, where did it come from? Is it even there? Do we find it in the Bible? And typically what's happening is comes from the Jewish culture of when a child becomes 12 to 13, that span of time, that they become an adult, if you would, in their culture. But that's religion. It's not the Word of God. And nowhere do we find an age of accountability in the Word to cause us to think that there's a certain age that a child has to become first before they can receive the words of our Lord. And yet you'll hear that a whole lot. I personally believe the age of accountability, if you would, is the age when a child can understand what the Word of God says about coming to Him. When they can understand the idea of sin. When they can understand what it means to ask for forgiveness. Then they understand. They can make a decision. One of the mistakes that we make as adults in thinking that they cannot is we make it into an intellectual decision. We think that a child cannot fully understand the gospel message. And you know what? That's true. The key word is fully. I'll ask questions to people all the time that have given their life to the Lord. And the question is, when you did give your life, excuse me, to the Lord, did you understand everything? Would you say there's been some growing in understanding since that day, that moment that you gave your life to the Lord? And everybody says that. It's no different with a child. It's no different. There's a discipleshipping process that takes place after that. And guess who does it? Guess who's in charge of it? Who's responsible for it? The church? No. The Holy Spirit. He does that. And He leads that. And He keeps us. So when a child gives their life to the Lord, they do not have total understanding of everything. But if they understand sin and the need for forgiveness, right and wrong, and what Jesus did for them, that what He's offering, how do you understand what Jesus did for us? How do we understand the cross? I mean, that's a constant. That's forever we're going to be considering that. So a child isn't necessarily responsible in the beginning stages of full understanding. But children can understand at an early age that they're a sinner, that they do things wrong, and they need to ask for forgiveness. And the minute they can do that, the minute they can understand that, my personal belief is that's the age of accountability. They understand that. Now that creates problems. People don't like that, especially with a young child dying, especially with all the things that it questions. But I don't get into that. I'm not going to. Even in my mind, I don't get into that because I know that God can keep these kids. I've had person after person tell me how God kept them. Well, I kind of drifted away. Well, what are you doing now? Oh, man, I'm here. Okay. So when you were drifting, was God still there? Of course He was. You weren't having the fellowship, the sweet fellowship that you could have, but He was still there. Is God not in the unbeliever's life? He's not in it, but is He near? We're told that the Holy Spirit has come to convict the world of sin. God was convicting me of sin when I was in sin before I knew Him. So, I believe that at an early age, a child can come to know Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, as long as there's genuine repentance over sin. And they understand that. That understanding will grow, of course, but nonetheless, it's still very important. Now, this I like. Acts 2:39. I want to write that down because Peter is saying, "For the promise is for you and your children and for all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God shall call to Himself." What was he talking about? There in 39, he's saying that it's for you and your children. And he goes on and we read what he was talking about in Acts 2:22-42. And what he was speaking about was the promise of salvation with repentance and faith. A child can do that. Peter was, because I believe children can and do, and I watch it all the time, give their life to the Lord, what part of the body of Christ does that make them? Is it an outside part? When we think about, oftentimes I challenge in one of the parenting classes I do, when your child gives their life to the Lord, do you know what that means? It means that they're a brother or sister in the Lord of yours. And we don't think that way. My 5-year-old became my, when she gave her life to the Lord, she became my sister in the Lord. Well, she's my daughter. I still have to guide and lead her, but she's my sister. And we don't think that way. And because we don't think that way, we look at children and the children's ministry in a whole different light. They are a part of the body of Christ. Now, are all children saved in the body of Christ? No. Are all adults saved in the body of Christ? No. Well, in the body, yes. I should reword that. In church. In church, they aren't all saved. The body, they're obviously saved because it's the body of Christ. And oftentimes, we don't consider that. When people go out on the streets and to the malls and wherever they go to the parks to share their faith, down to the beach, wherever it may be, where do they go? They go to the adults. That's where they go. And they pass tons of kids looking for that right adult. Lord, lead me to that right adult. You've got a sheet in your paperwork that is, here's what I want to get, looks just like this. And I'm going to read what it has on the top and the bottom there. 85% of all commitments made to Christ occur between the ages of 4 and 14. The bottom states, if a person does not accept Christ between the ages of 4 and 14, there is only a 15% chance of doing so during their lifetime. Where are salvation changes happening? They're happening with kids. 85% of all commitments made to Jesus Christ are in that span of 4 to 14. And you know what you often hear is, oh, yeah, there's a larger group of people coming to know the Lord when they're younger, like when they're in high school. That's what you hear a lot. That's not so. It's not so at all. And that's why we need to wake up to the reality that it's the children that we need to minister to and evangelize. I've got some pictures behind me. I don't know if you've been wondering why they're there or not. I put them up. Different people. What the question I have for you is, what do these pictures have to do with children's ministry? Anybody want to guess what these pictures have to do with children's ministry? Yeah? Pardon me? Influence? That oftentimes is thought. That's not what I'm looking for. They definitely will have influence over children. What's that? You know, it usually takes a long time to get that answer, but that's exactly right. They were once children. How often when you're ministering to a kid, are you thinking that they're going to grow up? Do you realize that Pastor Chuck Smith once was a child? And he probably was in a Sunday school class? And he had somebody that was either going to be faithful in teaching him or not? I imagine some of these people up here weren't in a Sunday school class. And yes, they have influence over many people in a negative way. Every time I look at a child, I mean it, every time, I'm thinking this. I'm thinking, you know, I even look at you guys, wonder what you were really looking like when you were like 2 and 3 and 4. You know? Because they're people. And the shortest time in their life is when they're children. They were children for, let's say, 12 years. How many years were they adults? A long time. And so every time I'm with 2s or 3s, I just love it. I'll start staring and I'll just go, man, I wonder what he or she is going to turn out. And I'll just pray for them. Lord, use them. This world is a mess. We need some new blood. We need some people making some changes for you in this world. And the old people aren't going to change. They're stuck. They're in a rut. They're building their castles and their kingdoms. Are you kidding? Take a chance and go on a mission trip? I don't have time. Go to a Bible college? No way. That will ruin my career. And we spend so much time in the adult mindset. Oh, they are so important. When in fact, I personally believe that there's going to be, and it's the only hope for this nation, if there's going to be a revival, it's not going to come from adults. It's not going to happen. It's going to come from kids. Maybe youth. They've been lied to enough, and they finally wake up to the reality they've been lied to, and they see the truth in Jesus Christ, and they move, and they go for it. And that's what I anticipate. If that doesn't happen, we're in a world of hurt as a nation. But I think God can do that. I watch kids constantly come to the Lord, constantly. And I expect that between the year 4 and 14, I expect hundreds, thousands of kids, if not millions of kids, that come to know Jesus Christ. You know that half the world is under the age of 15? You know, youth are just naive enough to have a faith that can change the world. What's at stake for ministering to children? Little children soon will be in the youth, soon will be in the young adulthood, and things can change. Things can happen. But oftentimes, churches don't look at it that way. Oftentimes, it's just a leftover. It's a leftover place to minister to the kids. It's a leftover bit of information to give to the kids. Leftover, leftover, leftover. Oh, let's give them this broken toy. We can glue it back together. Instead of somebody going, this is the potential. Let's go out and buy a brand new toy for them so they can be blessed at church. Because some of these kids never play with anything, depending on where they come from. And our mindset is just like messed up totally. And I call that the disciple syndrome. We often act just like the disciples from hindering the children to come unto the Lord. And we don't even realize it. Happens all the time. God speaks about those that offend children. Ever read a scripture that what happens to somebody that's offended a child? Yeah, you know how big millstones are? They look like a big, some of them can look like the tire of a semi-truck. I mean, you're going down. There's no question. One of the things that I think we see in the world that applies to teaching children, we need to teach the children of the trustworthiness of the Holy Scriptures. We'll be talking about that a lot. We'll be showing you how to do that. We'll be giving you resource that's free to do that. But they really need to understand, because it's the Bible has been under attack since the Bible's been written. The enemy does not want the Word of God that will be forever to be known. And that first attack has been the inspiration of the Scriptures. Are they really inspired? And that's been answered pretty well, really, in many realms. There's been so much study and proof on that. But the new one that happens in a lot of the churches is the Scripture sufficient for our everyday need? Or do we need to, yeah, that's good, the Bible's good, but we need to go outside the Bible to get the ultimate revelation for how to live life? And yet we know that the Scriptures have said that they are there purposefully for pertaining to everything that we need for to live a godly life. That becomes the issue. And right now what we see is the question about whether man's wisdom is better than God's wisdom. So in a children's ministry class, the number one thing that I want to convey to a child is the importance of the Word of God is sufficient for every need that I have. Now, I've been a Christian since I was 17 years old, and I have never to date, and I have no reason to lie to you, never to date, found it to be not sufficient. Matter of fact, one of the things that I dealt with as a youngster with my dad leaving, I didn't trust anybody. There was no one trustworthy on earth. They weren't there. Everyone was suspect. And that was part of what happened in my life. Somebody came up to me one day and said, there's somebody that's trustworthy. I said, there's nobody that's trustworthy. It's not there. Everybody's for themselves and they're going to do their own thing. No, there's somebody that's trustworthy. Yeah, who's that? And that's when I heard the name of Jesus Christ. And I also tell you, since 17 years of age, He has always been there. He has always been trustworthy. I was a kid that it was a surprise to many of my friends and people around that I would even follow Jesus Christ. And I heard for the first couple years, oh, you know, this is a fad, this is a fade. Someday you'll be back with us, you know. And I never went back because He's true. He is the way. He's the truth. He's the life. And nobody gets to the Father but by way of Him. And He is faithful even when we aren't. I want to bring this information for number one. This is a long introduction, but it's important. It's kind of an introduction for the class too. People challenge, well, I don't know about the young age thing, but anybody heard of the commentary of Matthew Henry? His commentary? He was 10 years old when he gave his life to the Lord. 10. How about Isaac Watt? Anybody hear of him? Because he was 9 years old. These are people that God have used greatly. Jonathan Edwards, he was 7 years old. Henrietta Mears, she has had great impact in children's ministries. She was 5 years old. Anybody heard of Billy Graham? Ruth Graham was 5, his wife. Corrie Ten Boom, anybody heard of her? 5 years when she came to know the Lord. Anybody heard of Pastor John Corson? 3.5 years old when he gave his life to the Lord. Spurgeon, the book that you're reading, he was 5 years old. You know, people doubt it. I have seen it up close. I have the 4 children that I've talked about. And all 4 of them gave their life to the Lord between 3.5 and 5 years of age. Some with us, which was awesome. Some with Sunday school teachers. Not only can children give their life to the Lord, we need to be giving them an opportunity for that. There's nothing probably more important, more critical than that reality, that the child would come to know Jesus Christ. And I tell you what, in this world, I don't know how you can make it in this world as a youngster without having Him there with you. You're closer to it than I am, but I read and see and know a lot. And it's a tough world to be growing up in. A tough world. What's our part, number 2, as teachers? What's our part as teachers? You know, sometimes this is a part of the balance that's really tough to deal with. And I hope you learn the balance in your studies. I hope you learn the balance here. Philippians 2, verse 12 and 13 are key scriptures, I believe, in balance. We are told in verse 12 that we're to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Now, that doesn't mean work for our salvation. It means my term would be go for it. God has saved you, go for it. That's what it means to me. But what's interesting is verse 13. Because it tells us it's God who's at work to will and to do. Now, neither one of those can match. Neither one of those can make sense intellectually. Because on the one hand, you've got God saying, okay, you need to go for it. I saved you. Now, put all your energy into this. But on the other hand, you've got God saying, oh, but whoa, wait a minute. I'm the one that's going to motivate you. I'm the one that's going to change your will. I'm the one that's going to do the work. Neither one of them match. That's a problem. How's that work? Well, because I've been blessed for years and years and years to sit under what I consider to be one of the greatest Bible teachers of our time, Pastor Chuck makes it real clear. Believe them both. So my responsibility is to go for it. man, give it every ounce of energy I've got to do it. But you know what? God's going to do it. It's awesome. But what you'll find in churches will explain one of those verses away because it's too intellectually confusing. They don't meet. The way they meet, John 15 tells us how they meet. If my words abide in you and you abide in me, it's an abiding process, and as we abide, somehow God makes that work. He motivates us. He gets us to go for it, to do it. But it's Him all the way. You know, I'll hear people go, well, it's God that's going to do it, so I'll just, you know, wait for God to do it. No, no. You're going to miss the train. You're going to miss it. Go for it. God is going to enable you to do that. So our part is to go for it. With children, explain the gospel, educate them, disciple them. But it's God that's going to enable us all the way to do that. Because that's number three, God's part of salvation. He's the one. As many will receive me, He says. He's the one that's going to draw them to Himself. John 1, verse 12 and 13. God is willing that none should perish. That's 2 Peter 3, 9. He wants all to come to Jesus Christ. And when you match that, you've got a winning team. Have you ever felt alone, lonely? No, I'm sure none of you have. But some people have. They feel lonely. They feel like in this big world, what in the world can I do in it? You are a team with Jesus Christ. I've always looked at it. It's me and God. I mean, that's it. What a team. And it's not because I'm on it. And you can go through life going, wow, it's me and God. No matter what I face, no matter what I go through, it's me and God. So when it's the message of salvation, when we're trying to minister to the kids, you've got these three things. Can a child receive the Lord? I think it's a loud yes. What is our part? Our part is to present the gospel clearly to them, accurately, not confusing. We will be talking about that because you can do that. You can tell a child, you go up to a four-year-old in a class and you say, do you want to ask Jesus into your heart? Well, we'll be spending a lot of time talking about this, but that's a very literal question for a four-year-old. Children are very literal in the question department in how they think. So a little four-year-old has enough capacity to think that their teacher is probably about close to the same size as Jesus. And if I ask somebody that big into my heart, I'm going to blow up. Because they're so literal. And there's nothing wrong with using that term as long as you are explaining, though, we're talking about becoming a child of God in His family. You still stay with your family. But we're all one big happy family together. And words can hinder a child to come unto the Lord. So our part is making it clear, making it sure, making it understandable. God's part is He's going to do it. And His words, when they go out, will not come back void. So we don't want to confuse Him. We want it clear. And that's what we're looking at today, a clear message of what it means to become a child of God.